this morning. It is good to see everyone today, this first Sunday of Advent, this first Sunday of our Christian year. And what a joy it is to be in God's house today, to worship together and to have hope for the coming of the King. A couple of announcements we'd like to lift up. First of all, if you ordered something on the day of shopping for Christmas for a cause, your orders are in the back and carry. I imagine you'll be there after church and the parlor to help divvy that out. Also, today we're turning in our time and talent sheets, and I'm going to ask that if you need one of those right now, if you forgot to bring yours today, if you would please raise your hand, and Mike and Jordan will help hand those out. Got a few there in the back, here in the front. Hold your hands up high. It's okay. You don't have to be embarrassed. And they're still available on our website. They will still be available the next few weeks. And so if you're still not quite where you think you need to be yet, that'll be fine to have those turned in at a later time. Also, don't forget to sign up in your bulletins on the tear-off portion for Wednesday Nighter. Also, don't forget about poinsettias orders. And so hope that you'll take advantage of that. Also, we'd like to invite everyone who is sitting on the end to please find the red attendance registration pads and to sign those, fill those out, and pass those down the pews so that we can have a record of your attendance with us today. It is great to be in God's house, and it is great to be a family. And so I'm going to ask that if you would now please stand and greet those that are around you. Lift up your heads this morning and know that the Christ child is on his way. Lift up your heads and let us worship today in the spirit of truth.
Thank you. take time to think about. And I thought, well, I'm going to look at the dictionary and review this. It means a start, a beginning. And I think that's extremely important. I usually talk loud enough that I probably don't need this. When asked to participate, I looked at the outline for the presentation and it said share some of your memories, Christmas past. And it said 2 to 4 minutes. For someone whose class members, the graduating class, voted him biggest talker, I thought, man, I'm in trouble. I know this is a sacred moment, and I didn't want to add too much humor to it, but I thought that I would let you know that it'll take me a few minutes to go back in a period of time. I grew up in a family whose mother had me and my younger brother in church every Sunday, and one of the things at Christmas time that I got excited about early on was the fact that I wanted to participate in the little Christmas play that we provided every year, and about the birth of Jesus Christ. And it took me several years before they would let me participate. But in the year 1935, I was 8 years old, and I had an opportunity to play a shepherd boy. We dressed the part. We sometimes tried to sneak in a live animal, but that didn't work. But we did have the baby Jesus there, and most of the time it was a live baby. It made it a little bit more real for us. But that was an exciting time for me. Actually, it was a spiritual moment in my life. 8-year-old boy. Now I'm going to fast forward 10 years, and I'm 18, and I'm on the hospital ship USS Bountiful in Tokyo Bay, Japan. We're having Christmas dinner, several sailors with me. We were doing right much praying at that period of time because we had survived a war. We were in landing craft to invade Japan on the 1st of November in 1945. And fortunately, we didn't have to pursue that. But that Christmas was a very important period of time in my life. It made me appreciate more what it's all about to have freedom and be able to worship and meet with your family and friends and church on Sunday. I came home in 1946, discharged. And last night when I was thinking about this presentation, I thought, well, I'm going to do something today that my family doesn't know about. I came home in 46. In 1948, I met a beautiful young lady. And in Christmas of 1951, we planned a wedding for the 29th of December, 1951. Now, that's a real Christmas, folks. And 29th of this December, hopefully, we will have been married 60 years. How about that? A product of that marriage is also here this morning, my daughter Donna, a member of this church. I'd like to say a little prayer now in commemoration for what it's all about. I thought about this for a period of time, and I've thought maybe that we don't pay that much attention to Advent and what it means. Because the Sundays leading up to the birth of Jesus Christ, a person who suffered all of his life. Now, we spend a great deal of time talking about being nailed to a cross and the pain and the anguish, the emotional pain, the physical pain associated with it. But that man suffered from the very beginning. Now, we talk about the being in a manger and the kind of songs that we sing and the gladness that we share during that period of time. We sing that little song, "Way in a manger, no crib for a bed. The little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head," and the lowing of the animals. But we make that a little bit more pleasant, I think. I'm sure it was difficult. Think about being born in a manger. I grew up on a farm, and I know what a barn is. It stinks in a barn. And that person was born there, and during his early years, we don't know all that much about what happened, but we know that during the period of time that we do know what happened in his life, he suffered and he was nailed into the cross. So when we participate in this activity, we want to remember that Advent is the beginning, it's a start, it's something that we need to reserve our thoughts and don't feel like that the person who was born on Christmas Day had an easy life. And he gave his life so that we are able to have everlasting life. Amen.
Let us pray. Almighty God, we have been reminded today of the goodness of your love and what you gave up for us. We, this Advent season, we ask that you would come, that you would come into our lives, that you would make us new, that you would give us new life and new hope. Amen. Our opening hymn this morning is "Love Divine, All Loves Excelling," number 384. Let us stand and sing.
Thank you. changed from glory into glory, till in heaven we take our place. Till we cast our crowns before thee, lost in wonder, love, and praise.
Like Paul, we often do not do the good things that we want to do, but we do the bad things that we don't want to do. During this time of Advent, let us pray that we will keep the season holy in all that we do and ask for forgiveness when we fail. Please pray with me using the words in the bulletin. Our Father, during this Advent season, protect us from and forgive us for the sins which are so common at this time.
We confess the sin of greed, for we are too often swept away by the commercialism of Christmas.
We confess to the sin of exclusiveness, for we act too often as though Christ came only for us.
We confess to the sin of cynicism, for we too often fail to slow down and show respect for the sacred.
We confess to the sin of failing to communicate to others our joy in Christ's coming.
We confess to the sin of anger and impatience, for we permit ourselves to be upset by the pressures and frustrations of the season. For these and our other sins of Advent, we ask for your protection and forgiveness.
God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel.
In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven.
A reading from the book of Isaiah, chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Hear the word of the Lord. This is another vision that Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the last days, the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem will become the most important place on earth. People from all over the world will go there to worship. Many nations will come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Israel. There he will teach us his ways, so that we may obey him. For in those days, the Lord's teaching and his word will go out from Jerusalem. The Lord will settle international disputes. All the nations will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. All wars will stop and all military training will come to an end. Come, people of Israel, let us walk in the light of the Lord." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Let us pray. What a wonderful opportunity that we have today, Heavenly Father, to be in your house. That we come this morning with so many things upon our hearts. Loved ones, friends, the condition of our world, the condition of our hearts. And we come today and we want hope. We need the hope that only you can give. So we come today to seek. We come today to worship. We come today to give ourselves to you anew. Even if we don't know what that really looks like, even if we don't know how all that will turn out, today we make a step. The first of many. And just like Abraham, you called him to a place that he did not know where he was going. But you promised him that if you will go, I will enable you to make the journey. And so we come today for strength for the journey. Strength for the passage and the celebration through Advent and Christmas. Strength for the journey through our lives. In relationships, in physical infirmities, in love with loved ones who we are caring for. This morning we ask that the pressures would be relieved, even if for a moment, that we can see a glimpse of your beauty. That we can see a glimpse of your hope, and that we can hold on, knowing that really you are the one holding on to us. So we come this day in anticipation of hope where we don't know where hope can be found, anticipation of courage where our weaknesses seem to prevail. We're thankful that we can be together in your house and that we can worship a mighty God who loved us enough to send his Son that we might be made whole. And we pray all these things in your Son Jesus Christ's name, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. What a wonderful time it is that where we can gather together and we can sing familiar hymns. We can join together with family and friends. And we can remember the goodness of God. Let us stand now and sing our hymn of reflection, It Came Upon the Midnight Clear, number 218.
Touch their hearts.
gracious God, you have been more than generous to us, more than we deserve. These gifts we bring before you today, we ask that you would use them to build your kingdom here on earth. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you.
A reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24, verses 36 through 44. Hear the words of Jesus. However, no one knows the day or the hour when these things will happen, not even the angels in heaven or the Son himself. Only the Father knows. When the Son of Man returns, it will be like it was in Noah's day. In those days before the flood, the people were enjoying banquets and parties and weddings right up to the time Noah entered the boat. People didn't realize what was going to happen until the flood came and swept them all away. That is the way it will be when the Son of Man comes. Two men will be working together in the field. One will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding flour at the mill. One of them will be taken, the other will be left. So be prepared, because you don't know what day your Lord is coming. Know this, a homeowner who knew exactly when a burglar was coming would stay alert and not permit the house to be broken into. You also must be ready all the time, for the Son of Man will come when least expected. This is the word of the Lord. A reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24, verses 36 through 44. Hear the words of Jesus. However, no one knows the day or the hour when these things will happen, not even the angels in heaven or the Son himself. Only the Father knows. When the Son of Man returns, it will be like it was in Noah's day. In those days before the flood, the people were enjoying banquets and parties and weddings right up to the time Noah entered the boat. People didn't realize what was going to happen until the flood came and swept them all away. That is the way it will be when the Son of Man comes. Two men will be working together in the field. One will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding flour at the mill. One of them will be taken, the other will be left. So be prepared, because you don't know what day your Lord is coming. Know this, a homeowner who knew exactly when a burglar was coming would stay alert and not permit the house to be broken into. You also must be ready all the time, for the Son of Man will come when least expected. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Be seated, please.
Before I begin, I would like to to lift up one announcement. On December 1st, that's this Thursday evening, we will be hosting or having a World AIDS Day Memorial Service here at First. We were asked to participate in this and to be a part of this. And so that is this Thursday evening at 7 o'clock. If any of you are free, I would invite you to come and to be a part of that. But also, I need greeters. Most of you know that we have a lot of doors in this church. And people who are coming, parking in different places will need direction. And so I would invite anyone to come and to be a part of that. HIV/AIDS is a huge problem in our world. And we are having a service as a memorial service for that. But would like to also enlist some of your help. So if you could do that, be here about 6:40 on Thursday would be great. Today is the first Sunday of our Christian year. First Sunday of Advent. It's proper for us to kind of say Happy New Year's to each other because it is the new Christian year. And it's through the Christian year that we are reminded and we retell the story. We retell the story of the saving acts of Jesus Christ. We remember and we celebrate his coming, which is what Advent means, his coming. We remember his coming the first time, and we anticipate and look forward to his second coming. So we celebrate and we prepare. And we understand about preparing and celebrating, don't we? A lot of us has already been preparing for the big event called Christmas. And we will be celebrating the big event called Christmas. But it's this big event that we have been looking for and been told to be looking for. But very much of what our society and culture tells us to look forward to has really anything to do with what the gospel has to say. We have been bombarded with advertisements. About 3 or 4 weeks ago, cheesy Christmas music on the radio. I don't think I ever hear O Come Emmanuel on the radio. So I usually turn off my radio and turn on the CDs or my iPod. But very, very little of what the culture has to offer us has anything to do with what the message of Advent really is. Our society has believed the lie that if if you can get this, or if you can get that, or if you can possess this, then you will be content. You will be happy. And every year we find that that does not happen. We do hope. We do hope above and beyond all hope that we will find that something that will give us peace. Whatever that something may be, we all long for this hope, this peace that we can have. This peace and happiness that we long for. We long for something more. And, you know, Madison Avenue understands our longing. And it tries to entice us. But we all know that those are mere trappings. and do not bring lasting joy. We all believe that there's something more out there, something better. We Methodists call that prevenient grace. And what that means is it's the grace that goes before. It's the grace that everyone has that allows us to respond to God. But it's also that grace that tells us somewhere in our heart of hearts that there is something more. There is something that I'm to be connected to that I cannot find by myself. There is something that I need in my life that I cannot find in myself or in somebody else to fulfill. Now, a lot of times we try to find fulfillment in a lot of things and even good things. Martin Luther felt the hand of God upon him, and as a good Roman Catholic, he tried everything he could to find God and to find happiness. He would fast and fast from food and water to nearly to the point of death. He would walk around with rocks in his shoes. He would climb up the tower steps on his knees and somehow trying to find God. But it wasn't until he read in Paul, in the book of Romans, that it's his grace that justifies us, that makes us new. That was the hope that he was looking for. And he didn't find it in what he did. He found it in the person of Jesus Christ. The scripture lesson from Isaiah tells today of a vision. A vision of a big event. A vision of a big idea. And that vision is God's calling to us. The vision may seem impossible. It may seem that it just cannot happen. How can we imagine, you know, the plowshares and into pruning hooks, into swords, our swords into plowshares, and our spears into pruning hooks. How can we imagine that our world today would lay down its arms and join together in unity? It's a big idea. But it's not just an idea, because Jesus gave his life just for that purpose. It's a vision of God's presence. And it's more compelling than we could ever imagine. And God wants his presence to be even more evident in our world. Isaiah says that God's mountain will be the biggest one. And everybody will see it, and everybody will stream to it. That God's presence will be in the world, and everybody will be drawn to that divine instruction, as Isaiah would say. And there's something in us that thinks that we know that God is the one we need, and not just a God, but the God in Jesus Christ. We've all heard the saying, and we've heard the song, you know, there's no place like home. This past weekend, at Thanksgiving, we were at my mother's in Georgia. She still lives in the house that I grew up in. And there on 11 acres and on a hill in Georgia is my home. Well, I'll say it was the house I grew up in. Because we were there, you know, sleeping in beds that weren't our own, living out of a suitcase, kind of dependent on somebody else's schedule. And yesterday, on the way home, I'm just like, I just want to get home. I want my own shower. I want my own bed. I want my own pillow. I want my own, you know, I want my family around me. I want my stuff, my things. And while I love that place in Georgia, my home is here. And no matter how far away I go, this is where I want to be, because that's where my family is, my wife and my kids, where I'm comfortable. And if I go to a church somewhere else, you know, over Christmas we'll be in Texas and we'll go to First Methodist in Waco, but it won't be the right First Methodist. I mean, I'll enjoy it and it'll be great. I'll probably see my roommate from seminary because he goes to Baylor. I'll get to see my in-laws and that'll be wonderful and great. But it's not home. You know that all of us have that in us. And God put that there so that it could teach us that really our hearts are made to be at home with Him. Our hearts find no rest until they find rest in Jesus. And we're always homeless until we find rest in Him. It's what we're made for. It's what we long for, is this God presence in our lives. The second part of the vision says is that God's word will make a difference. Now that's really hard for us to believe today when all we do is hear words and words and words and words and words and words. 24-hour news, 24-hour sports, 24-hour everything. Do you remember when CBS, ABC, and NBC used to sign off at night with the, you know, with the Star Spangled Banner? And it's probably hard for people to imagine under 35 years old that, you know, that the three big networks, they just quit broadcasting. We hear words all the time, and now we can be tweeted and Twittered and Facebook and email and text messaging and all these things, and we hear these words and words and words and words, and almost to the point to where do we really even hear words anymore? Michael Scott told me that he had read something that very few people, probably under 30, ever really finished reading books. Because they're used to getting their reading done in short things, from an email, from a blog. And it's just the way the world is, not good, bad, or whatever. It's just how it is. But God says that His word will make a difference, that it will bring justice, it will bring true unity, where brothers and sisters of warring nations will join together as family. And there will be no place like home. There'll be no war. We'll all work for the good of each other and not for ourselves. That is the world that God envisions. And it's the world He wants us to envision with Him. But we look at that and say, well, you know, that's a great idea, but it's just too big. Isaiah, you know, it's kind of pie in the sky. That's not ever going to happen. And so we're just going to hold on until Jesus comes and He wipes everything away, and then we can just go be in heaven. But that was not Isaiah's vision. He says, the time will come. Maybe the reason why there is no peace in the world is because we don't believe it can really happen. And we are the people who are the church, who ought to believe. Maybe we don't believe that it can really happen. Because we see the disparity of Isaiah's vision and our reality. But God can bring it about. God's reality is true reality. And He wants to bring that to us. But how does that happen? Isaiah says it will happen when we all walk in God's light. When we all walk in His light. When we're not bickering over theological terms or preferences. When we're not bickering over experiential differences, that if you don't experience it the way I do, that it's not right. You know, you raise your hands, you keep your hands down, you be liturgical, you be non-liturgical. You know, all those things, that's not the light. When we walk in God's light, simply walking. Matthew 5 says, you are the light. You are the light of the world. Jesus, I believe, thinks that you and I are the hope of the world. not because of anything special in us, but because of His power working through us. That's what He's left us here for, to be the light. Now we can see the mountain, and we see the light that's there in the mountain, and we can see the path that's right in front of us. We may not be able to see the path 2 miles down the way, but that's okay. We're called to walk in the light we have right here, right now. We know where we're going, and we know we're going to get there by the power of Christ. So we are the hope of the world. I don't say that arrogantly. You know, as much as I believe the local church is the hope of the world. A new election is not the hope of the world. A new system of government is not the hope of the world. Jesus is the hope of the world, and we are His bride. The local church is the hope of the world. So I want to ask us today, is that the vision we are longing for? The vision of God's presence taking over everything? The vision of God's Word instructing us and really actually making a difference in how the world thinks and operates? I believe that that's why Jesus came. And He wants to use you and I in whatever small way to be the light of the world and to give the light that He has given us so that others may see and the world can change. It's probably not going to happen 10,000 at a time, but it can happen one heart and mind at a time. It's what we all long for. It's what we know in our heart of hearts that God wants for us, for this church, for every church, for this community, for this world. It's for His presence to be first and foremost. And I believe it can happen. I believe it can happen. Because with God, all things are possible. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, forgive us when we don't believe the impossible. Forgive us when we only believe what we can accomplish with human effort and strength. Forgive us when we do not look to You as the one who is all-powerful and who can change the world. Let us this Advent season prepare ourselves, to prepare our hearts, to prepare our lives to be the light of the world that You have given to us. We are not the source. You are the source. But let us not hide our lights under a bushel. And let us not just enjoy the light that You have given us for ourselves, but shine it into all the world. Amen. Part of shining your light is giving of your time and your talent in service to Christ's kingdom. This morning, I'm going to invite you to bring your time and talent sheets forward and place them in the box. You may kneel and pray if you like or return to your seats. I'm going to ask you if you would come by the side aisles and return by the center aisles. The choir is going to sing a couple of verses of a song, and then we'll sing our closing hymn. So I hope that God is speaking to you, and you may think, well, you know, this is what I'm doing is insignificant, but nothing is insignificant when God has called you and empowered you. So I invite you to come at this time and to give of your time and your talent to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. this Advent season as we seek to be God's people. Let us do what Jesus instructed us to do, is seek first his kingdom. When we seek his kingdom first, the light will not be a problem. Let us stand and sing our closing hymn, Lift Up Your Heads, Ye Mighty Gates, number 213.